take your hands off that mute button, because the Lotus Effect is coming up right fucking now!
This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast, my only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
You know, we know what the fuck we're talking about. It's just a ploy. We're experts. That's all I need to say about that. Welcome to episode 215 of The Lotus Effect, which we've provisionally titled Porn Eggs. I don't even want to know where that came from.
It was on our provisional show title list.
Yeah, that just means it one of the random things that came out of one of our mouths, or maybe somebody that was around us at the time. That does happen, too. As we all know by now, the show is made up. The content doesn't matter, and I'm Phone Boy.
Must be a king. Come on. He hasn't got shit all over him.
Nope, but I give him plenty, because, you know, I'm Phoenix.
Well, I'm having this problem with my...
I don't give a fuck!
That's right, and that's my answer. When someone asks me for tech advice, I'm having a problem with, I don't give a fuck!
Yes, exactly. Well, and you've been saying that a bit lately with some of the stuff that's been going on. Oh, my...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think our... We had talked about all of that on Two and a Half Bens last night. So yeah, there is a new episode of Two and a Half Bens available on twoandahalfbens.com or on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, where you can also find the Lotus Effect if you're listening through one of those mechanisms. Yeah, you know, you can find us so many places. It gets a little freaky at times, and I start freaking out.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
Sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes, the danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man. You are freaking out, man.
Yeah, man. You know, and that's one of the things that can happen when you experience the Lotus. Well, it affects everyone differently. So, and sometimes you freak out. Sometimes you tune in, drop out, or that kind of thing. Sometimes you might think we have too many swear words in our opening, according to Chris Abraham. So, however the Lotus affects you, wherever the Lotus is affecting you, we would love to hear about it.
I got mail! Yay!
I got you a dollar.
We invest a lot of time in putting the show together, and we operate on the value for value model, which is a great model for life, honestly, right? And it consists of three T's: time, talent, and treasure. Now you can send us treasure of the Fiat Fun coupon variety. And you can do that by going to lotuseffect.show and clicking on that green We Like Money button and sending us some cash via PayPal or Cash App using the hashtag $TheLotusEffect33.
Yeah, I like money, though.
Yeah, we like money. You can also visit our merch store at lotuseffect.shop, where you can buy our crap that's been smeared with our brand feces. You can do a one-time donation if you want via that site, although I don't know any reason you'd want to, but it's there. And we didn't get any value this week in terms of the monetary type, but we completely understand because, yeah, You know, we know money is tight right now. As much as things have improved since I don't know when we got the 45th president back. I guess everything. Yes, it's taking a while to filter down to everybody. We totally get it.
No, but we did get a lot of value, especially last night with the 3 hours we went on 2.5 Bens with Sir Ryan Bemrose, a very grumpy tech geek who we love. He is the head troll here at the Lotus Effect, and he's also a treasure trove and a treasure troll of knowledge. So check out 2.5 Bens. It's definitely worth a listen if you love tech, hate tech, cuss at tech, or think AI is completely a bubble and we can't wait for it to burst. Yeah, go check out 2.5 Bens.
That's right. So, yeah, well, and the conversation that we had with him and Bemlet after was also good. So, after, you know, the after party we do, for 2.5 Bens, we call it the afterbirth. Anyway, we understand that cash is not something that you got a ton of right now. It's totally cool. We do want to make sure that the investment we make in putting this show together and spending the time is valuable. And you know, we talk about value. It's assumed it's about money. No, it's not just about money, folks. It's what do you get out of it, right? And I mean, is it, you know, part of the value might be, okay, these degenerates are informative and funny. You might also hate us and hate listen to us. I don't know. I mean, there's probably people that do that too, right?
It's like the Howard Stern model.
Yeah,
I'm not going to play the clip, but we all know the Howard Stern model.
We all know the Howard Stern model, exactly. So, but it's important that we know that we're making an impact on you, right? And so this is what we actually find the most valuable to us, is letting us know that you're listening, right? Whether you like us or not, we don't really care. But if you're listening to us, let us know. It doesn't take that long, and here's how you can do that. And now, first of all, would appreciate it if you would, smash that like or subscribe button in your podcast app, right, where you might be listening to us. I know some people, like Sir Bemrose, probably listens from VLC on a command line to the stream.
And he's probably running it in some obscure fucking browser that tracks absolutely nothing.
That's right. If you're using Apple Podcasts or Spotify or something else, that's cool too. That's why it's there. But subscribe and share.
Confirmation
and like
of MPV.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Anyway, so subscribe, do all of that stuff in the podcast apps, right? And let people know that you're listening to us. That'd be great. Share it with a friend. Now, you can also.
Yeah, and remember, we don't use an AI for our metrics, so we actually know what the fuck's going on here.
Yeah, so anyway, I think the other thing you can do is you can reach out to us on
Mastodon!
All right, so you can reach out to us on the massive dong. Our handles are phoneboy@lotuseffect.social, and my partner here is BHEONIX@lotuseffect.social.
Why does it always sound like you are saying B instead of P?
I know, because I enunciate the P.
You ain't enunciating shit.
Yeah, well, anyway, you can also send us email at feedback@lotuseffect.show. If you reach out to us in the back channel, you can send us things via snail mail. But what we really like is we like people like Cotton Gin and Weirdo and Sir Bemrose and Mama T. Hang out
with
us.
Don't forget Bemlet's here,
and
too.
And Bemlet's here, too. That's right. So join us in the chat while we're doing what we do, right? We do Rideshare Radio or 2.5 Bens on alternating weeks. Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. We also do the Lotus Effect Saturdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, and followed by Studio 33. You can get all the details on how to do all of that on lotuseffect.live. The other thing you can do is you can call or text 253-237-3321.
One rainy dingy. Two rainy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yeah, that line is boozy. However, it's answered by Google Voice. I'm sure it will turn your transcript of your voice into something that will then get fed to some sort of AI. No, it doesn't. Well, not on our behalf anyway. But it will actually We might actually use it if we see something funny in there. We might pull a show title out of it. So that's we do that. So anyway, now, of course, why would you call us? Right? What fucking reason would you have to call 253-237-3321? First of all, you can give us feedback if you'd like. We like feedback. We're good with that. You can also weigh in on our topic for the week, which this week is your favorite Valentine's Day gift, because it is Valentine's Day here, at least as we're recording this on Saturday, February 14th, 2026. You know, AD, something along those lines. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, so I have a question. Do you give a fuck that it's Valentine's Day?
No. Only because we're doing it as a topic, honey. That is the only reason I mentioned the fact that it's Valentine's Day.
No, it's just the reason I asked that question was primarily for the rant that I had in the grocery store yesterday regarding these very overpriced flowers. That are just going to die within a week, two if you're lucky. Or nothing says, I really love you, like diabetes.
Well, yes. Well, also the obscene prices when we were at the Food City in like Maryville, right? They had them for what, like $69? I swear I saw $69.69 on the pricing.
Yeah, you did see $69. It was probably $99, you pervert.
Yeah.
However, yeah. It was maybe a half a dozen roses. They weren't even red, and they were in a vase. For that inflated price,
I could probably get better flowers from 1-800-Flowers than if I actually... Anyway.
Well, here's the thing, okay? For that kind of money, the kind of flowers you can give me aren't going to wilt.
Well, that too. But anyway, the whole thing...
You have no idea what that is, do you?
Well, probably not.
Phone boy, when a bullet... impacts it mushrooms. It looks like a flower.
I see.
Ergo, the flowers that you could give me wouldn't wilt.
I see.
Meaning you could buy me some fucking ammo.
Okay.
Bullets instead of, roses.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay, well.
Second Amendment's there for, or not Second Amendment.
Anyway.
The amendment is there for a reason.
That's right. It shall not be infringed. All right. So anyway, you can, that's where you call us is 253-237-3321.
Hey, phone boy.
Yes.
Rails? What rails? I don't remember any rails.
I don't know, but I know who is probably on those rails, Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor, I can take it.
Yeah, you can take it, but you're not taking this.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
That's right. Be respectful when you give feedback. Don't be prejudiced. That's my job. Damn sure don't be anti-Semitic. But basically, just don't be a cunt. Again, that's my job. Be respectful. I mean, we break balls, but at the end of the day, no hate. We're not putting up with it.
That's right. So, okay. Well, now the first half of our show. No part of our show will ever be
brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah, it probably won't be brought to you by the company whose the name we're going to play when we play the opening clip of the story. Glyphosate, what indigenous communities have suspected for years about the dangers of the herbicide. Monsanto. A classic Jeff Smith jingle. There have been renewed questions about the safety of the herbicide glyphosate in light of the recent retraction of an influential peer-reviewed research article. Originally published in 2000 in the academic journal Regulatory Toxicology and Pharmacology, the article claimed that glyphosate posed no risk to human health. How do they just lie like that? Glyphosate is widely used in forestry, agriculture, and land use management. Commercially sold under brands such as Roundup, it is the most widely used herbicide in Canada. Yeah, I guess this was a Canadian outlet we pulled this from. In the journal's retraction notice, the co-editor-in-chief wrote, concerns were raised regarding the authorship of the paper, validity of the research findings in the context of misrepresentation of the contributions by the authors and the study sponsor and potential conflicts of interest of the authors. These potential conflicts raise concerns or questions about the study's authorship and results and renew concerns about the safety of glyphosate. According to Health Canada, consuming foods treated with glyphosate does not result in any human health concern to any segment of the population. In quotes.
Bullshit.
That's right.
I got a question. How do we know? Just follow the logic here. How do we know that it's not having an effect? If people are dying from cancers and things that these chemicals cause, they're not looking at this and going, could it be possible that this is causing that? Are you kidding?
Yeah. There's lots of levels of indirection here, right? Oh, it was, yeah. Well, so, yeah, they died of cancer. Well, what gave them cancer? Well, maybe some of this crap that Monsanto calls glyphosate might be involved.
Yeah, it's much like saying, you know, during the COVID years that nobody died from the flu. Nobody got the flu. It was all COVID.
Yeah, well, it's all about
pneumonia or any. No, it was all COVID.
Everything was COVID.
Died from a gunshot? COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
Suffocation? COVID.
Yeah, sounds like a comedy bit. Actually, probably was.
I'm sorry. You were here in the world.
Yes.
Between like 2019.
No,
slash
but honey, you delivered that. You delivered that like a comedy bit as well.
Okay. I was gonna say we lived the comedy bit for like several years.
Yes, I understand. Yes.
Isolation and segregation.
Yes, yes, and that was especially stark in 2021 when I flew out here. Right. Or was it 22? It was 20, beginning of 22. That's right. The beginning of 22. When I flew out here, we were still in Washington State, under like mask mandates, like going out or whatever. And here it was just like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Bemlet in the chat, back in 2020, I got chased down MLK by COVID.
Yes.
Well put.
Yes, that was well done. All right. Anyway, this aligns with findings from other governments, including the United States, New Zealand, and Australia, all of which probably get their money from the pharmaceutical companies. But anyway, scientific research is an essential part of protecting the health and well-being of people and the planet, but it only tells part of the story. And despite some conclusions that glyphosate poses no risk, there have long been concerns regarding its impacts on the environment and human health, particularly from the indigenous communities. Now, I'm not going to pronounce this name because it's like, it's Ambigluzaglion.
No.
No. It's called AZA, First Nation in Northwestern Ontario, knows firsthand about the impact of glyphosate being sprayed on their traditional territory and demonstrates that policymakers and researchers need to learn from the experiences of people who are actually living and working on the land. What a novel fucking concept. Maybe the people who actually... I don't know, live out there, might know something that the people, the fucking bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. or some faraway place don't fucking know about.
I don't think it's a matter of not knowing. I think it's a matter of not caring. We don't care. We don't have to.
Well, you're not wrong about that. Members of the ACA have been particularly distressed about the impacts of glyphosate on their traditional food systems, the land and watershed, and the community's health for several years. Now, people who live and work on the land have noticed many changes and called for research and action to address these concerns. In 2015, the International Agency for Research on Cancer classified glyphosate as probably carcinogenic to humans based on limited evidence it causes cancer in people and sufficient evidence it causes cancer in animals. This has been of particular concern for many indigenous communities in terms of the impact of glyphosate being sprayed on the berries, animals, medicines, and fish that make up their traditional food systems. While several health-related issues have been connected to glyphosate use, such as destruction of cells, inflammation that can damage healthy tissue, and weakening of the immune system's ability to defend the body against infections and disease, there's no clear consensus on what level is considered safe. How about none?
Safe at no... amount.
Yes, unsafe at any dose.
That.
With a nod to Ralph Nader. All right. AZA members pointed to ways that traditional knowledge could be used to better understand the impacts of environmental contamination. Those who participated in the conversation shared experiences of finding water, finding fewer animals and plants in areas sprayed with glyphosate, making access to traditional foods difficult. So they're trying to kill them too. All right.
They're trying to kill everyone.
Yes, exactly. No clear consensus as long as you're only asking the people who draw a paycheck from Monsanto. Yes, you're correct, Sir Bemrose. Yeah, so many participants said animals were more diseased and that the harvested and hunted foods did not taste, smell, or look the same as they did previously. Yes!
Gee, I can't imagine why.
Disruptions to the cycles of land and the loss of species impact the community's food security as well as the self-determination and ability to transfer knowledge to future generations. Guys, it's all part of the same fucking plan.
It is, and they're trying to kill the indigenous people off. Just
the indigenous people?
Well, no, but specifically because this is about the indigenous people, okay, in the territory in Ontario, okay? What I'm saying is, yes, it's more than just the indigenous, but if you know the history and traditions of the indigenous people, they have deep roots, deep history, and they share it with their young. And the problem is, this threatens that. Because they are. They're trying to eradicate them. It's gross.
Well, yeah, anyway, they don't care. They don't have to, you know? Yeah, this is Soylent Green. Actually, I'm remembering that movie now when it's just, yeah, it's so sick. That movie pretty much kind of shows you what's going on in that shit, you know?
Again, Hollywood's been trying to let the truth out through its cinematic art, if you will, for years.
So
we're just now figuring it out.
Yeah. So yeah. Same with the same with the music industry. That's another, you know, there's bands that, yeah, the truth has been out there and they've been warning us for a long time, but yeah, you know, I was listening to the clip from Network that we like to play sometimes.
Yep.
Right? You know, where, yeah. And it's from 1976, 50 years ago, you know, it's like 50 years ago. It hasn't gotten any better, folks. And we're reading anyway. We'll talk about the book and Toast and Jam, but you know, reading stuff about the drug industry. Yeah. That hasn't changed either. You know, it's all been, you know, yeah, it's all pointing that direction, but we're trying to change that. So raise awareness and all that stuff. So. You have another story.
We are. And this is definitely some awareness we're attempting to raise because more than 20 popular candies have tested positive for toxic levels of arsenic.
Don't eat that!
You might die.
As it turns out, arsenic isn't necessarily uncommon in food. According to the FDA, the heavy metal may be found in food because of where it was grown, raised, or processed. That said, long-term exposure to arsenic can cause some pretty serious health issues, such as certain types of cancer, skin disorders, heart disease, and neurological effects on fetuses in pregnant people, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention of Your Health. The amount of arsenic consumed matters most. And the study from Healthy Florida first. Why am I not surprised this shit came out of Florida? But anyway.
There's a reason Florida man exists.
Clearly it's arsenic. So this study sought to determine the safest annual consumption levels. The safe servings designated were broken down by age, either child or adult. And consumption limits were based on grams. In the study, several notable sweet faves were impacted by unsafe levels of arsenic. Now ready for this, guys? They include Kit Kats, Snickers, Skittles, the original kind, Swedish Fish, Sour Patch Kids, Tootsie Rolls, and more. This is terrible. So the National Confectioners Association, or the NCA, disputed the study's findings and called Florida's conclusions misguided. Okay, so right there, you know that they're onto something. If they're getting pushback from the Sugar Association, which is, I mean, basically the confectioners. I mean, what is confectioner? It's sugar, if you think about it. So chocolate and candy are safe to eat and can be enjoyed as treats as they have been for centuries, the NCA said in a statement. Florida has chosen sound bites over science, ignoring this science-based program in favor of publishing unsourced materials that amount to little more than a scare tactic. Oh, now you really know they're onto something. They're bulking it up here. The entire list of candies listed in Healthy Florida First's report can be found in the link in the show notes. But we're going to play a game. So, just out of curiosity, phone boy, how many pieces of Black Forest gummy bears would you think is safe for kids to consume?
Zero. Okay. But okay, but we know that this is normies. So let me answer. Okay.
Yeah, let's go with normies.
I don't know, 16.
It is 16, and for adults it's 40.
And by the way,
now,
I'm not looking at the chart by the way.
I understand. So, but that's if one piece equals 3 grams. Okay. Now the amount of arsenic parts per billion in those gummy bears is 370. Now let's take something you might be a little more familiar with. How about some nerds?
Nerds.
How many pieces do you think are safe for kids to eat at this level?
Well, zero, but
obviously.
Okay, so this is one of the ones that I did for you, I think. It is I think it was like 82 or something.
It's 96 if one of the pieces is half a gram, and 240 for adults. But there's 450 parts per billion of arsenic in the strawberry and 380 in the grape. Now, the clusters, it's even better because only 24 pieces are safe for children, with 60 being safe for adults. And there are 500 parts per billion of arsenic in those.
Ow, my diabetes.
Oh, I know. And the Laffy Taffy. Oh, it's even better because kids can only have 4 pieces of that if the piece is 8.8 grams. This one got me.
Wait, okay, but they do this. Okay, so I'm actually trying to figure this out. If like somebody's trying to rationally use this information, this is because.
Well, here's the problem.
How much is 8.8 grams in American units? God damn it!
Well, hold on, because here's the other problem: is because they're not specifying. Are we talking about the little like the ones you get in individual? Like at Halloween?
Yeah.
Are we talking about the fucking Whip-A-Dick stick
comes from the grocery? Taffy, I want the Whip-A-Dick stick. That's
I mean, that's what I'm saying, okay? And for adults, 9 3/5 pieces. Who the fuck is grabbing out a measuring stick and going, okay, 8, 9... And we got 1/5, 2/5. No fucking way. If we're doing fifths, they better be shots, and it better be of Jack Daniels. So anyways, there are 480 parts per billion in the Laffy Taffy of that arsenic. Bottom line, folks, let's just not fucking eat this shit. There's also, you've got sweet tarts. We've got a Hershey's cookie and cream bar. 1 1/5 bar if the bar is 43 grams and 3 bars. Now, I assume, let me back up here for a second. Bars being the piece, like, you know how it spells out Hershey's on the whole thing. Yeah. A bar is literally, essentially, like a letter.
Yeah, it's like a portion or something. Yeah, it's a small portion, yeah. But your bar, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask this, and I cherry-picked this. What child do you know is only eating, essentially, not even 2 of those little squares of that chocolate bar?
Oh, no, that's an empty chocolate bar. That chocolate
it's gone.
Yeah, that chocolate bar is gone.
Oh, she gone.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, she gone. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 3 bars. For an adult, I'm telling you, 280 parts per billion. How much arsenic are you consuming just eating one standard? Because they're not that big. That's why an open bar is a gone bar with that. They're not that damn big. You can easily kill all those pieces. So you're well over consuming the arsenic. I mean, we've got Twizzlers. We've got Jolly Ranchers. I mean, the list is extensive here. I can't even, I'm very sad to report that there are 510 parts per billion in a Twizzlers watermelon. Now, I don't know the watermelon flavor. I'm only familiar with the strawberry, but even those have 500 at 4 pieces. If 1 piece is 11 grams for kids, dude, Twizzlers as a kid, eat off the end and suck in milk through it like a straw. That pack is gone. For most kids, this is, you're poisoning your children, not only because it's sugar, but also with as much arsenic as in these candies. I just wanted to point that out. You know, Tootsie Rolls, 380. Oh, we can have 20 pieces of those as adults, only 8 for the kids, though. I mean, this is fucking gross. To look at the, okay, so this just fell on my eyes. The Tootsie Roll fruit flavored ones. And I love the fact there's only one in here. It's the lime one. Of course it is. Because that's the best fucking flavor next to the vanilla ones. Oh, look, they have the vanilla ones too. 570 parts per billion for the lime and 370 for the vanilla.
Yeah, let's.
My God.
Yeah, so not only so are they bad of you because of the sugar, they're also apparently bad because of the arsenic. So
yeah, that's
double
what
trouble.
Quite do.
That's what it sounds like. Well, okay, let's talk.
I love Billy Steed's response. She said, just give him a cigarette already. Yeah, truly. Yeah. I can't even. It's so sad.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, all right, so let's move on to something and move on to something I don't know, important or something. Can a keto diet really help with depression? Studies offer some insight.
We know from epidemiological studies, which is usually the first step in trying to understand what's going on, that many mental health conditions are associated with the standard, the sort of the sad Western diet. But these are just associations. We don't know anything about causality. This is just a hypothesis. So what did the randomized control trials tell us? So just sit back and relax, and I'm going to walk you through every randomized control trial there has been about diet and depression. All two of them.
Yeah. Well, there was two of them probably back when we pulled – when Georgia E. spoke at the whatever conference that where we pulled that clip from. Yeah, there's probably not that many, many more than two. A ketogenic diet is a low-carbohydrate, high-fat diet that has been shown to provide various benefits such as weight loss. Now, the keto diet may also help with managing diabetes, cancer, epilepsy, Alzheimer's disease, and even improve symptoms associated with mental health and conditions like depression. A 2025 pilot study found that young adults experienced up to a 70% reduction in symptoms of depression after they followed a keto diet. A recent study published in JAMA Psychiatry suggested that following a keto diet may help manage symptoms in people with treatment-resistant depression. Treatment-resistant depression is a subset of major depressive disorders that does not respond to traditional first-line treatments such as medications and psychotherapy. Despite these positive findings, experts caution that a keto diet should not replace standard treatment for depression. Oh, yes, of course not, because that treatment is not financially good for the pharma industry.
Well, remember last week we talked about the fact that if you want to help your mental health and instead of going and talking to a shrink, go out in the forest and talk to a tree.
Yeah. Well, I did. Hey, I think the only thing that kept me sane during the last 2 years of my marriage was the fact that I ran like a fucking fiend. Because honestly,
you ran like Christopher Battles.
Yes, I ran like Christopher Battles. I did. And yeah, it was necessary for me to, you know, to survive that, you know. Anyway, so this but anyway, like there's also certain risks associated with keto, which is why it's important to consult with a mental health or healthcare professional before trying this diet. Yeah, they'll try to steer you onto the drugs. Ketogenic diets are highly restrictive and carry significant long-term concerns, said an expert who claims to be a preventative cardiologist dietitian at Entirely Nourish and who was not involved in the studies.
First and foremost, if you're not involved in the studies, shut the fuck up. Second of all, let me remind you of just exactly how much training doctors get in nutrition. Zero. Zero in mental health either, unless that's your specialty. And that came directly from Dr. Drew Pinsky.
There you go. Yeah, they can increase cardiovascular risk, cause nutrient deficiencies, and are not recommended to be sustained long-term, recommended by people who profit off of you not doing that. But anyway, making this strategy not one that is sustainable. Well, for the industry is, you know, anyway. Now, for most people, the potential harms, including heart health impacts and nutritional gaps, far outweigh the modest short-term mood benefits observed. Keto should not be recommended outside of closely supervised research or specialist settings, the paid pharmacist said. A study published on February 4th in JAMA Psychiatry suggested that following a keto diet may have antidepressant effects in people with treatment-resistant depression. I think it has antidepressant effects in people, period. At least that's my experience. This small study included 88 participants with an average age of 42 years. Where's the 33? Anyway, the average time of participating...
Nah, phone boy. It's the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
I suppose so. The average time of experiencing depressive episodes was 16 months, and 93% of the participants were receiving monotherapy, i.e. one type of treatment. They were retrieving therapy to get mono. Anyway, they were split evenly between the keto diet and control groups, and these were both six-week dietary interventions. At the six-week follow-up, around 25% of the keto diet group and 9% of the control group had achieved remission from depression. Then at the final 12-week follow-up, 7% of the keto diet had experienced a relapse in depression, with an 18% continuing to experience remission. Remission in the control group remained unchanged. So these results show that a keto diet had antidepressive effects when compared with a control diet. However, the study authors note that the clinical relevance is uncertain, as the mean effect size compared with the control was modest and not evident in secondary analyses.
Yeah. Okay, so hold on, though. As we all know, keto is a bullshit marketing term. So my first question is, what were they eating that was keto?
I think the only thing I can do this. I think the only thing I can say is,
clearly.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. Yes. So of course, yes. Further research with larger participation groups is needed, right?
That buzzword.
There's that bullshit. The recent trials suggest the ketogenic diet might produce a very modest reduction in depressive symptoms over 6 weeks in people with treatment-resistant depression, the paid shill from Big Food said. However, the effect was small, short-lived, and not reflected in other outcomes like anxiety, cognition, or quality of life, all of which are being affected by other things. But anyway, the controlled diet, a vegetable-rich, lower-saturated fat pattern, produced nearly as much improvement, showing that simpler, safer dietary changes can be just as effective, the expert added, at keeping you sick.
Wait. Okay. Again, I said it, and I'm going to say it again. They don't talk about what they were eating, which probably, okay, so let's just look at this. A vegetable-rich, lower-saturated fat, which automatically means that they're probably using seed oils. They're not using, red meat and copious amounts of protein. Of course not, because it's all about the veggies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, it's a cancergenic diet. I think Sir Bemers has it correct. That's really what it's
about.
Yeah,
I saw that. I think cancergenic diet also should be a show title.
Yeah, probably. Research from 2024 shows that following a keto diet may also help improve other mental conditions. The keto diet has been shown to help reduce inflammation and oxidative stress, modulate gut microbiota, and improve metabolic health. Now, all of these therapeutic potential in mental health conditions such as bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. Further research is needed, of course, blah, blah, blah. Research on ketogenic diets and mental health is still limited and preliminary. Some studies suggest modest short-term improvements in depressive symptoms, mainly with very low-carb diets and induced ketosis, the expert said. Now, small pilot studies in serious mental illness show possible benefits for mood, energy, sleep, and metabolic health, but the evidence is far from conclusive, the expert added. The paid industry shill said that anyone interested in trying keto should be aware that it should only be a time-limited, closely monitored regimen under a guidance of a professional.
Bullshit.
Yeah. In most cases, a plant-forward, nutrient-adequate, lower-refined sugar diet is more sustainable, safer, and better supported by evidence that you all fucking control.
Lies, damn lies, and statistics. That's what that speaks of to me right there. They're absolutely putting their thumb on the scale on that one. And, You can obviously see the agenda. Remember, Beyond Meat Burgers. How'd that work out for them? You don't want to eat meat, but you want to think you're eating meat, and you even make it bleed. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I thought I saw somebody had posted in the chat about the fake turkeys for the holiday, that you can buy that's made out of industrial slop that they call healthy.
Ew, I had not actually seen that, but that's gross.
Yes.
It's like tofu turkey. Dude, you put a tofu turkey in front of me, I'm going to drop kick you and that fucking shit out the door.
Yeah, well, anyway, it is time to get stupid. Not as if we've been stupid already.
I was going to say, I thought we did that when we hit the record button and started the show.
Well, no, but we get really stupid because there's a cavalcade of it.
Hi-dee-ho, pedal heads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's Cavalcade of Stupidity. All right, check the Voxcaster and lock your armor seals, because things are about to get grim, dark, and incredibly niche. Coming to you from the deepest archives of the Administratum, we've got an artist who turned a 2,000-page rulebook into a musical act. This particular digital artist has spent more time painting plastic than sleeping. He knows more about the Horus Heresy than his own family history. And whether you're a loyalist, a heretic, or just here for the Blood Ravens sea shanties, get ready to roll for initiative. So get ready for a heavy dose of tactical nerdery. Raise your chainswords for the one, the only, Jack Storm. From the album Steal This Album, this is Jack Storm. Yoink.
We landed on a shrine world clean and blessed with light. Saw relics in the chapel gleaming gold and white. The priest said that's the Emperor's. We said not anymore. A blood raven touched it once, now it's ours by lore. Yoink goes the relic into our ship, it flies. From the rubble, from the ruins, from under loyalist eyes. We don't ask, we just acquire. In the Emperor's name, if it glows, if it's sold, we're claiming it for the game. We fought beside the Grey Knights, just one chapter strong. They turned around a moment, now their codex is gone. Who took our sacred war gear? They shouted with despair. We shrugged and said we found it, it was just lying there. Yoink goes the data slate, hidden in our halls. Scripture, swords, or sacred bolts, we answer higher calls. We don't steal, we preserve it for tactical review. What's yours is ours, what's ours is ours, and what's new is overdue. Ah yes, the blade of St. Krevnus, formerly thought lost, recovered bravely from the Ultramarine's vault last year. Do we have papers? No, but we do have bolters, that's enough. Good enough in a member, if it's not nailed down, it's ours! The Mechanicus once warned us, touch that and we'll be vexed. So we took their holy STC and filed it under next. They said it's heresy, we call it requisition.
All right, well, so that is our submission from Rev Cybertrucker this week.
That was fantastic.
That's fantastic. All right, well, what is, I think we're, let's see. Well, okay, so there's a segment that's called Tales from Rideshare, but I don't think there was any rideshare this week.
Well, I mean, technically, there was one ride that was given, but it was given by you to me. And no, we're not talking about the after-after party, but we will talk about it in Toast and Jam.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
And we hope those special plans are going to include calling 253-237-3321 and telling us about your best Valentine's Day gift you ever received. And in the meantime, I know you all are wondering what I'm up to, because what's Phoenix cooking?
I'm making like actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
Okay, so here's the interesting, folks. We were going to do the video for chicken wings tonight because we are having chicken wings tomorrow night. We were going to have them tonight, but I got the bright idea that these wings needed a little extra special treatment and needed to be brined. So I, of course, because it takes 24 hours to brine chicken, decided that I would just whip up a batch of chili. So with my hands deep in epoxy, I decided Phone Boy could be my chef tonight.
Yeah,
and I instructed him on how to cook this chili, which he made amazingly. And we added some ribs we had made, St. Louis ribs. So we shredded up that rib meat and put it in with the rest of the chili. And it's absolutely...
It's like an orgy in my mouth and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it.
Did you ever get this shirt for it hooked? Sent it.
YouTube is absolutely fucking off on a giant level in that regard. I've got no idea. I'll try to do it later. But I wanted to highlight something that Weirdo had posted in the chat. So I clicked on the link, and I am, by all rights, responsibilities, and I'm fucking appalled. A vegan whole turkey. Now, this is what got me. Anybody who knows anything about vegans, we all know they don't eat anything that has to do with animals, this, that, and the other thing. Allergy information. This product contains soy and wheat and is manufactured in a facility that also processes other items containing milk or egg. So basically, as a vegan, you can't even be assured that your vegan turkey is truly vegan because it might have some residue of milk or egg floating around because it's processed in a facility that also processes items that contain that. I think that's beautiful. Then, if that's not bad enough, right underneath it, big warning, cancer and reproductive harm. Yeah, it's soy. Duh. Nobody should be consuming soy, especially women. But seriously, folks, I truly can't even justify why you want to eat something that looks like that. I've taken shits that look better than that thing. I just want to point it out. Take a blowtorch to a turd, and it's going to look better than that turkey. Rant over.
Okay.
Now on to the next rant.
Yes, exactly.
Because I started my internship this week, yesterday, to be more specific, and I just absolutely... Y'all, okay. This 2-year degree has taken me like 3 at this point. And I finally get to the internship. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I realize that I fear it's a fucking train. Because you've got to be kidding me. First and foremost, I get there early. No thanks to the fact there was not an address provided for where we were going. Only the name of the building. But I can let that go. The woman who is doing this internship, who's supposed to be a program manager or programming manager, finds it absolutely essential to mention she used to work at NIST. Whoopee fuck, lady. I've met people who work at ORNL and I'm a lot more impressed by them. Continuing on, I'm not even going to tell you how she was dressed, but I can assure you I wouldn't be caught dead looking like that, wearing that. Let's just say she rivaled Foam Boy's ex in size. That's all I will say, and I will say no more. But that's my own personal prejudice. Let's get down to the meat and potatoes here. She is unprepared of her own admission. Oh, I was supposed to have this done over the weekend, but I was lazy. That's the first problem. The second problem being, they really don't know what to do with us. It's been ascertained. If you listened to 2.5 Bens last night, you heard me have an extensive rant. Fuck, we talked for 38 minutes before we ever got into the show and actually did stories just about this internship and how abjectly horrible it was from a freezing cold conference room that was like a meat locker to self-guided. And here's an email that's got all of these specifications for this lab that you want us to set up or whatever. First and foremost, okay, it involves VR, it involves drones, and it involves medical IoT devices. 3 things yours truly has no interest in having association with, using, or otherwise. But the fact that for 5 hours we were self-guided with this information that she provided, finger quotes, me and the other two just sat and did our homework. Yeah, we looked at the links, and I even sent the stuff to Phone Boy. And even he was like, this is about as clear as mud, what she's looking for.
Yeah, it's just you kind of look at it and go, yeah, a whole lot more information about what is actually going to be in this lab is needed in order to have any idea how to fucking secure it between the different components and, well, you know, other than each segment should be completely isolated except for whatever a little bit it needs to get to the internet. Like, come on, this is, you know, I'm just looking at this. I'm like, yeah, this is a waste.
But wait, because it gets better. Okay. Short and sweet. Oh, I don't micromanage you, you know. You can, you know, take lunch whenever you want. you know, there's this restaurant and that restaurant, yada, da, da, da. Never says how long lunch is. Okay. Tells us after giving us, you know, saying, you know, oh, I'm going to send the email, you know, with the links, blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, I'll come by and we'll talk about it. Right. We didn't see her for the rest of the day. And I don't mean, oh, at the end of the day, she popped in and said, ah, bye, see you next week. No, nothing. She literally sent, I was one of three. There's supposed to be five. There was only three. I was one of three. And she literally sent one of the other guys, because there's two guys and me, and I'm probably old enough to be both of their moms. She sends one of them to let us know, oh, y'all can go if you want. Can we be more unprofessional? You don't tell us how long we have for lunch. You don't come back and discuss what we were supposed to be doing this entire day, this research on. You don't even come to release us. I'm very unimpressed. And if my professor asks me, I am going to give him 1,000% the full and honest answer as to how this has been. Because this all started that I was informed before he even was that there was a week that it was being delayed because it was supposed to be a week ago Friday that it started, but they were still trying to button up the parking issue. Yeah. Two strikes, in my opinion.
Yeah, and how much? And by the way, how much of that fixing the parking issue was her being lazy?
Well, the interesting thing is, I don't know, because the email comes from a different person regarding the parking situation. But I'm not worried about the parking situation, because as I had started to say during the toast and jam thing, that, yeah, I actually had you bring me, quote unquote, to work.
Yeah.
And drop me off. Which is another thing, guys. I just got to quickly. This grinds my gears slightly, because I'm paying to take this internship that I'm getting paid to do. Let that sink in for a second. And I feel like the amount of guidance is negligible. And I mean, like I said, if you listen to 2.5 Bens last night, Sir Bemrose had a point that, you know, this is to see, are you a self-starter? Are you this? Are you that? I really don't give a fuck what these people think of me, Sir Bemrose. I meant to tell you that last night. This is not something I expect is going to be a job offer that's waiting for me after I have my degree. So what they think of me, whether I'm a self-starter or not, I feel like has less than any bearing. Because if you are a company that is worth your salt, you're not just going to have your interns sitting around with their thumbs up their asses. You're going to give them some more guidance than just, oh, here's a self-guided, you know, research thing to do. Basically, translation, we have no idea what to do with you. We're completely unprepared, but we couldn't hold off and postpone the start of the internship again. That's just me.
Yeah. And yeah. So what did that mean? Right. Because yeah. So because that meant I actually had to go like work in a Starbucks, which I haven't done in well, I've done it since I've moved here. I think I have gone out into our community either to like Grinder House or, well, I've went to the Starbucks a couple of times, but not very many times. There was also a place here that opened up in the Glade for briefly, and I went there, and it was just anyway that wasn't. It's not there anymore, so yeah, you can see how effective it was. So I really, it just didn't. I don't know. I've just never really. When I've tried to do it around here, it's like I don't really want to be here. You know, I don't know. But so. It was okay to do it in Knoxville. I'm just not used to it anymore. I used to go to Starbucks all the time when I lived in the Pacific Northwest because I was at home otherwise, and you know what my situation was at home back in those days. So yeah, it was nice just to get out of the house, even if it was to Starbucks. I don't know. I think we were trying to find some other places around the.
I think we're gonna have to put a little bit of wood behind the arrow of just checking out what's in the area that might be suitable and comfortable for you to sit and work at. Yeah. I mean, I really think at the end of the day, that's kind of the solution, because I'm just not the person. Maybe I'm a little bit too snooty or whatever. Yeah. I'm just not the person who, oh, you're being so gracious to allow me to park one day a week, because they made sure to put in there that your parking is only for Fridays, da 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 da. It's like, well, wow, could you possibly have been so kind? Like, get the fuck out of here. I'm fine to not have a vehicle, because I suspect it will make things like, oh, let's take a field trip, become let's not.
Exactly. So
just saying.
Yeah. Well, and in any case, I have a feeling that's what I mean. Anyway, so we'll figure something. Like the Starbucks that I was at was not that bad. I do want to maybe spend a little more time looking around and seeing if I can find something that's not too far away, but at the same time, that's acceptable. I also want to take a trip to McKay's at some point. Which I actually,
that's true.
It was funny. One of the places
it would give you an excuse because
actually it was funny when I was driving past it, because I was trying to drive past it to find, there was a couple places I was trying to investigate that kind of came up on the map. One of them was over by Whole Paycheck, which is not too far from McKay's. And so I'm sitting here going, well, the universe really wants me to go to McKay's at some point. I'm not doing it today though.
What was the place you were investigating?
I forgot the name of it. It was some random place I saw on Apple Maps or something and decided to look at it. And it was inside of Whole Paycheck, I think. And like, no,
you know, I just had a thought. I know. Congratulations, me. It is a little bit further though. I mean, maybe significantly further now that I'm thinking about it. My initial thought was Barnes and Noble, actually. That's a quiet environment where you would be able to work. And I think they may even have a Starbucks in there. Not that that's the selling point.
Yeah, I understand. Actually, yeah, you're probably right.
Thing is, the Barnes and Noble is more like, it's definitely probably further or equal to the coffee shop in Alcoa that we found.
Yeah, well,
because it's on Kingston Pike, but it's like down. Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about it off mic, but I think it's a little further than you would probably choose to travel, if I'm honest.
Yeah, because I kind of like being like 10 minutes away or something, because obviously there's sort of two sides of it, right? Which is kind of why I think that Starbucks is probably going to be where it works, because it's, I'm not too far away in case you need to be picked up. And I don't want to try to factor all that in. I actually want to be able to get things done occasionally. So yeah, but it is.
Don't fuck with me, Mork.
Yeah.
I'll grab a scooter and meet you halfway there. I'm telling you, dude, like they have scooters on campus.
Yeah.
And I like the scooters. You know, I had a blast in Israel when I was buzzing around the streets. Hell, so did you.
Yeah, it's true.
But so, I mean,
we'll figure something out. Well, so I kind of looked at this. I'm going, okay, so why would I volunteer to drive over there? Because it is a bit of, it's an hour plus each direction. And yeah, well, frankly, like it's a good idea to get out of the house every now and again.
It also gives us more time to spend together. Because that's not time apart as I'm driving, even if we'd be on the phone like we usually would.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so this is something that, I don't know. We'll play with it and see what we do. Yeah, we'll keep a, it'll be interesting, but it's nice to get out of the house occasionally. It's just, it's something I've been needing to do for a while. And yeah, trying to do that around here, maybe not so great. How did we come across this book, honey? This Selling Sickness book? I think it was,
it was in one of the articles, I believe, that we did recently. And I was extremely interested in it and decided that we needed to own it. Just sight unseen, more or less, just from what the article had said, I was like, something tells me we need to have this book. And so far, we've only read one chapter plus the
prologue.
Was it the prologue?
Yes, the prologue, yes.
Okay. I'm hooked. From almost word one, you had my full and undivided attention. And as you have continued to read, I have continued to become more deeply invested in the contents of this book. It's a fantastic read, and it's not that expensive either. It's available on Amazon.
This was a used hardcover of it that we have. And yeah, we,
I prefer my books in hardcover.
I do too. And anyway, we'll have a link to it in the show notes. So if you've been listed, so basically what the first chapter is about cholesterol medicines, right? And basically what they've done is over the years, they've taken the criteria for need. You know, first of all, they're basically creating shit out of thin air, right? As far as like diseases, or they're defining the class of people that need this drug bigger and bigger. You know, it's kind of like what they've done with high blood pressure. The number of the amount of, you know, what they consider normal, you know, is basically they've made it lower. They've changed the numbers over our lifetime, even, right? And they've done the same thing with, you know, what's considered okay in terms of your cholesterol, right? They just keep widening the number and say everybody needs to be on a statin. Meanwhile, there are people that look at the statins and go, well, if you have heart disease, yeah, it might help you from not getting a heart attack. But for most people, it's probably not something you should take. Well, except they handed out like fucking Pez. Well, basically, they, you know, and this book is kind of going into the, well, you know, we're creating the, you know, we're selling the fear around it that, you know, we're creating something. We're telling people that, you know, we need to manage their, you know, we need to manage your cholesterol numbers. When it's not about your cholesterol numbers, that's just one risk factor of several for metabolic disease. And it's kind of funny seeing this book. This book was written, the copyright date on this book was 2005. So this is a 20-year-old book, right? And you can sit here and read the book, and they were putting it together back then, basically, that, yeah, most of pharma, most of the medical system is basically bullshit because they're selling, you know, solution, you know,
it's toxic literally solutions. They created the disease.
Yeah.
So that they could create the cure, finger quotes. Basically, what the book highlights is the fact that things that were never considered, quote, diseases and disorders now are. You know, the restless leg thing, the ADHD thing. Because if you haven't noticed, and I know we've been talking about it a lot, every kid in America has ADHD if you ask a doctor. And everybody needs to be on a statin. Everybody's pre-diabetic. I mean, the list goes on and on. They've literally created diseases that just for, I mean, the book, the beginning of the book actually names with Merck as the drug company, and how, like, the guy who founded it, I think it was, how he kind of literally had made some candid offhanded comments to the effect of getting people who are healthy on our drugs, more or less.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that is exactly, and it's just this virtuous cycle that makes them a lot of money, and, you know, statins are one of the most prescribed medications out there. They've fleeced us for millions. And yeah, I mean, it's disgusting. It's the kind of stuff they've been telling us about on No Agenda for long, you know, as long as they've been doing things. But it's to see it written, see it this way, right? I mean, I'm kind of going back through my own stuff, and it's like, yeah, you're managing the, you know, the numbers. Well, what does that mean? The numbers don't necessarily mean a result in a lot of cases. So you have to kind of deconstruct that. I don't know. It's giving me a lot to think about. And as we're talking about it, we're riffing off of it and, you know, making fun of it, of course, as we do. But yeah, this is a great book. I think we're going to continue.
Yeah, and quite honestly, I lost my train of thought. You had said something that I didn't want to interrupt you, but I wanted to jump in on. What was it you had just said? Because I'm trying to get the thought to come back around.
I'm saying that we're just talking about this book, but this is no, but the,
yes, I mean, I know that.
Yeah, the book, right? Yeah, like I said, just it's kind of putting it. It's telling us stuff that we knew all the time, that we've known for a long time, but it kind of shows you how it happened, right? And it paints the picture of, well, yeah, they've been doing this, and it's been getting progressively worse.
All right, forget it. It's not going to come back around. You're just giving me a Shaggy Dog bullshit, and it's not helping. We need to move on to the next thing.
Okay, I forgot what I said.
I fucking hate when that happens. It's like, I had a thought, and because I didn't want to fucking interrupt you, it took the first fucking train to nowhere land.
Yeah, if it's meant to come back around, it will.
Goddamn old age sucks.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's time. Okay, so it's time for the tarot.
It's time for the reading. But real quick, I do want to plug the book, though. You know, despite the fact we get no kickback. Guys, fantastic read. I guarantee you, just from the way it started, Selling Sickness. It's available on Amazon. Hell, we have an affiliate link we'll put in the show
notes. Exactly. Yeah, that's I have an affiliate link for it. Yeah.
If you're interested in purchasing the book, and I assure you, it really is worth it. just go check it out.
Yeah. And it's not a long read either. I think it's actually a pretty good read. So
So far, how many pages is it?
It's like about 200 pages.
It's not a very big book, but it's packed with a lot of information.
Yeah, there's a lot of references I think the book's about 200 pages before you get to the references, and which, you know, there's probably another 20 or 30 pages of that, and there's, you know, they make a lot of statements in there that are stacked and such with anyway, it seems like it's well researched at least, and I think it's important that it seems like you can see the pharmaceutical and medical industrial complex sort of forming reading this book. That's the way I kind of look at it, and it's this is why we're so skeptical of my mom has always been very skeptical of the medical system, and I think for good reason. She knew something that we didn't.
Yeah, clearly.
Or she felt something that we. Yeah, so I've always been kind of skeptical of the medical system, perhaps as a result of that. And this makes me just kind of question all of it. And like, okay, there's a reason I'm doing what we're doing, and trying to basically stay out of the medical system as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're on the right track. That's why we do the show the way we do it now, is because I think it's really important for people to know and understand that, you know,
yeah,
this shit is out there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly. Okay, so it's time. We're time to. So thank you for giving me time to shuffle the deck here. So, if we'll play the, yes, we're gonna do the tarot situation here. We figured we'd resurrect the original music that Lorian gave us for the show to do the tarot segment. I thought that was good. We just got her new calendar, by the way.
Oh my God, she's such a gorgeous creature, and that calendar is amazing. If you want a great, fantastic calendar for 2026, go over to bowlafterbowl.com. Check out the they are 33 a piece, I believe.
Yeah.
And 12 months of one of the most beautiful creatures we've ever had the pleasure of knowing, in all her gorgeous glory with those G-size good gods and this tight little waist. I don't get it. This girl has had like 5 kids. Check that calendar out. Go over to, like I said, bowlafterbowl.com, and just you can message them in their chat if you're on the IRC. And $33 or like...
It's $33.33, I think is what it was.
Yeah, I think it's $33.33 or like there's something with sats also, she said.
Yeah, I sent them $69.69 for 2 calendars. So
that's right. Double the delight.
Double the G's.
Double G's, baby.
Okay, so... While you're yakking over there, I'm shuffling my tarot deck and I've drawn the card. I've got the sun out right now, and I think this is indicative of a lot of things that are going on in the world. We're starting to hear about the truth is starting to become apparent in a lot of ways, right? I know the Epstein thing's been all over the news, but that's just one of many, really. Things are starting to come to light that they can't hide anymore. People are figuring it out. People are starting to see through all of the shit that we've been fed. We're starting to question. Those of us who've been questioning the narrative for a long time, well, other people are starting to finally question the narrative too, and it's for the best that we do. Now we also have the 7 of Pentacles that I've just drawn here, I feel like we're starting to get we talk about abundance. It feels like we're about to get a breath of fresh air in a sense, right? We've all been kind of in this we'll call it oppressed state
call it winter.
Yeah, they call it winter. I'm not even talking about winter.
I know that, but it does seem like this particular winter has been a lot more cold and dark.
Yeah,
metaphorically and literally.
Yeah, and quite literally. Yeah, it is. And I think there's something to that also, right? Because and I think people are experiencing the winter in a different way. They're at a point in You know, it seems like things are, yeah, we've been kind of, because the winter has been cold, yeah, we've been inside a little bit more, or just because, yeah, we just haven't been feeling like being out there because, yeah, things just don't feel right or whatever. And we're, you know, but, and things feel kind of restricted and whatever. Yeah. Cause when you're not outside as much when the winter is so cold, but I think that, you know, with the sun coming out, yeah, we're going to start, I think we're all going to start feeling better about just everything, right? Not just, you know.
Well, if you think about it, the other day when it was, like you said, almost 70 degrees, did that not impact your mood?
Oh, yeah, it helped me a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, same here. To not have to be hunkered down in a bundle of clothing because it's so damn cold was truly liberating.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I've got one more card here, and it's the Knight of Wands. Now, the Knight of Wands, yeah, this seems like a time, yeah, to start taking action, right? This is that, you know, the Knight of Wands is, you know, got it, you know, maybe, you know, the knight is got the sun behind him, or, you know, some celestial body behind him here in this. And I'll post a picture of the cards here. And this is these are the Soya Mystic tarot cards that I'll have a link in the show notes for him. But the Knight of Wands is, you know, this is ideas starting to put some of those ideas into motion, right? That's what I feel like with the Knight of Wands. It's you know, that things are going to, the truth is starting to come out. Things are starting to warm up. We're starting to feel good about things, right? I think that's the Seven of Pentacles. It's, you know, we're starting to see the fruits of our labor, that you can see the pentacles in the tree on this particular card. And then you've got the Knight of Wands, you know, charging ahead with a spear in his, you know, in his hand, ready to go. And it's like, yeah, it's go time, folks. I think we've had another,
that's been a consistent message that tarot has been delivering all year, is 2026 is the year of LFG.
Yeah. The year, let's fucking go. That's right. So anyway, I think that's what we've got. So anyway, I'll post a picture of the thing, and I'll put a link to the cards for that. But yeah, but I think the basic idea is that, yeah, that this is, things are being revealed. And the hard work we've all been doing is going to start paying off here. If you got new ideas, let's bring them.
You know what? Actually, hold on. I neglected to mention something in the toast and jam that you just reminded me of when you said efforts paying off. I sold 2 pieces.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have another one that's on watch. My tea light tower, the one that makes the heart, the 2 pieces that form a heart in the center that are uneven heights,
yeah,
is on watch by someone. So yeah, I mean, things are moving and shaking. I've got, I did not photograph them before the show, but I will make sure that by next week I have them photographed. I have a couple new pieces that are actually coffee cups with a heart on them, and they are a candle. I have 2 of them right now. I have a hazelnut and a coconut scented coffee candle in those cups with saucer. They're adorable. Like I said, I've got to take a picture of them. But I'll have 3 by the time next week's show happens, because I've got one in mold currently.
I see. Well, all right. Well, I think it's time it's time for people to make a wake-up call.
The world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
To 253-237-3321. So the topic this week is, what's your favorite Valentine's Day gift you've ever gotten? Well, we didn't get any voicemails this week, womp womp, but we do have a text from Mama T. She says, honestly, I don't remember if this was a Valentine's or birthday, but my favorite gift from TechZilla was a big Starbucks mug. It has been used, but not necessarily for Starbucks. Well, yeah, I understand that. We'll take Mama to a proper Starbucks at some point.
Oh, hell yes.
Yes, exactly. Although, yeah, we'd have to actually take her somewhere farther than where she lives, probably, though.
It's actually funny, because I was thinking about when we go down to see her, when the weather is warmer and such and so forth, hopefully. I was considering a little road trip down to South Pittsburgh to the cast iron, main cast iron joint for Lodge, if she was up for that.
Okay. Well, we could probably do that. So,
I do actually have another submission.
Okay.
Came in the back channel from a Bemlet.
Okay.
He said, my favorite Valentine's Day gift is my kids. That counts as a sexually transmitted disease, right? Literally, it's what he said. Don't judge me. Yeah. I didn't ask. I think his kids are cute as hell.
Yeah, exactly.
They're precious.
Yeah, they are.
And they do cool things like make toilet monsters, which I love. I'm kind of jelly. Like, I always, don't get me wrong, I love both of my sons. They are amazing. But I always wanted to have a daughter. I think it would be so much fun. Yet the reports that I'm getting from people, yeah, girls are a little bit easier than boys. So I guess I just have always had to do it the hard way.
I'm not sure. Having had a girl.
Okay, clarification. He didn't say Valentine's Day gift. He said VD gift. That's terrible. Is your wife around? Where's Sabs? I'm surprised she has not beat you about the head and neck for that comment.
Yeah. So, yeah. Unfortunately, when it comes to Valentine's Day gifts, yeah, I haven't gotten any, so I don't really.
He said Sir Bemrose said he really appreciated that one year his unfaithful girlfriend didn't give him a VD gift.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, that's about the one. Yeah, that's the best gift you never. It's the best gift to never give.
However, it is the gift that keeps on giving. Sores, scabs.
Yeah, exactly.
Ew.
Yeah, let's not do that. So
yeah, no.
Yeah, unfortunately, unfortunately, the answer to this question is no. I just don't. I mean.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the seat since nobody else really weighed in, called in, or otherwise. What's yours?
That's what I said. I don't have one. I've never got. I don't participate in this.
You don't have one. You've never been given something for Valentine's Day.
No.
Okay.
I mean.
Okay, so the album that arrived the other day, which was companion to the pink gift you bought me last week as an early gift, but you've never gotten anything.
I didn't realize that was a Valentine's Day gift. That was not announced as such.
I thought I told you that.
No, you did not tell me that.
Mm. So. Yeah, that was the companion gift to what you got me, my darling.
Oh, well, is it Sergeant Pepper's? Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I haven't listened to it yet. I forgot
that
I had it.
That doesn't fucking mean it's not a gift that you have and
yes,
got.
I just wasn't. Yes, I agree. However, that was I didn't realize that was a Valentine's Day gift. It was not announced as such. So, anyway. I mean, I appreciate.
Well, excuse me.
Okay.
Yes, I erroneously, and I was actually going to wait to give it to you until today. Mm-hmm. I was, but I hate the way that they package the shit because you fucking know what it is when it arrives. So it's kind of hard to sneak a vinyl-y gift for you because if I head upstairs with a vinyl-y gift, you know it's a fucking vinyl-y gift and it's obviously for you.
No, that's it's okay. But see, I can also I'm also patient and can wait until Valentine's Day because I. So.
Aw, Bemlet got his wife and each of the girls a small box of chocolates, and he got a potted plant for his wonderful lady, and each of the girls got a Valentine balloon. Aw, that's sweet.
Yeah.
So okay. I'm trying to think. Where's the crickets clip? Because I can't think of.
I got Dame Bemrose some takeout barbecue. That's a bad.
Nothing says love like smoked meat on Valentine's Day.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Exactly.
Okay.
But yeah, I really don't.
I think this topic was a bust for everybody today.
It was a fucking phoned in, no pun intended, topic.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to do something because we just happened to have the Valentine's Day show. And
yes.
Yeah, it kind of fizzled. But then again, it's a made up fucking holiday anyway.
That's right.
So it really doesn't matter. And we've said it before. If you need a special like day to buy a gift for someone, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. Like, if I want to buy a gift for someone because I care about them or they're my friend or something like that, like I don't need a special occasion. It can truly just be a random day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay. Next week, I think we'll get some answers. So next week, we're way in topics going to be, should we get rid of daylight saving time? I think we got a lot of opinions about that.
Oh, I think we do.
Yeah. 253-237-3321 if you can't wait. All right. Now, I think it's time to go to part two of our show, which will never, ever be
brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because they pay me every time I do. It's a really good way to make money.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it works, right? Although, apparently government subsidies are a good way to make money. And this is your story, by the way. So
it is. And I just love this story. Y'all are going to love it, too, I suspect, because when government subsidies stopped, Doritos got 15% cheaper.
Crunch all you want. We'll make more.
PepsiCo spent $2.8 million last year lobbying to keep junk food eligible for food stamps. But last week, after Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. got 18 states to ban SNAP purchases of products like soda, candy, and processed snacks, PepsiCo announced price cuts of up to 15% on Doritos, Lay's, Tostitos, and other Frito-Lay products. The company's official explanation was affordability. CEO Ramon LaGuarta cited low-income consumers are switching to store brands, but the timing tells the real story. The SNAP program is a $100 billion per year program, serving roughly 42 million Americans. And according to the USDA's own data, about 20 cents of every SNAP dollar goes to sweetened beverages, candy, salty snacks, and sugar. In fact, soft drinks alone are the single largest category of SNAP purchases. That's till last week, though, because products from Pepsi's Frito-Lay division were in 7.2% of all shopping trips paid for with SNAP, i.e. taxpayer-funded benefits. Again, we say it, guys. There's a reason they say don't feed the animals. They'll become dependent on the handouts. We give you government benefits. So when the government stopped subsidizing demand for their products, PepsiCo had to do something they hadn't needed to do in years. Compete. This is what the free market does. It forces companies to be more efficient, cut prices, and pass savings on to their customers. But here's the thing. This is one company, one product line, one government program. Zoom out, and you can see just how much of price inflation in our daily lives is due directly to government spending, before we even get into monetary policy like printing money. When a guaranteed buyer shows up with a bottomless wallet, prices go up. Just look at college tuition. In 1965, Congress passed the Higher Education Act and began backing student loans with federal dollars. Since then, tuition has risen roughly three times faster than inflation. A year at a private university that cost $2,800 in 1963 now costs over $85,000. The New York Federal Reserve studied this directly and found that for every dollar increase in subsidized student loans, tuition rose by up to 60 cents. The mechanism is simple. When the government guarantees the tuition money, universities raise prices simply because they can. The pattern is the same everywhere you look. The government shows up with money, prices rise to absorb it. The subsidy becomes permanent. The industry restructures itself around the guaranteed revenue, and then anyone who suggests pulling back the money is accused of cutting a vital service. Now, consider the scale of this in America today. Federal spending has risen from about 18% of GDP in the 90s to nearly 24% today. That means almost a quarter of the entire American economy is government money. Of this, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent has publicly estimated that 10% of the federal budget, roughly $600 billion a year, is lost to outright fraud of the Somali daycare type in Minnesota. Then there's the legal graft. California alone received roughly $100 billion in federal grants over the past few years for DIE initiatives that produce nothing except more government jobs and campaign contributions. So how much of America's economic output is actually real? How much is just government money making a round trip? Borrow more debt. handed out through some boondoggle program where it's spent at a PepsiCo subsidiary, counted as economic activity, making people obese, then more money spent on healthcare to keep them alive and pay enough taxes for the government to be able to pay interest on the debt. It's a circular problem. It's absurd when you think about it. We don't have a precise answer. But the Pepsi story gives us a clue. The moment the government stopped subsidizing one small corner of the economy, prices dropped by 15% within a week. RFK didn't regulate PepsiCo. He didn't cap prices. He didn't launch an antitrust investigation. He simply stopped the government from funneling taxpayer dollars into unhealthy food. And the market corrected overnight. Talk about being able to, you know, the ripple effect. It's one small action that created a big result. Now, imagine what would happen if the government stopped subsidizing entire industries. The defense contractors billing $10,000 for a toilet seat. The universities charging $85,000 for a degree in gender studies. The healthcare system where nobody can tell you what anything costs. We might finally find out how much of this economy is real. And that, frankly, is what makes it so hard to fix, because so many people's livelihoods now depend on the government gravy train.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to. This is, you know, it's amazing just, yeah, it's like the, I don't know, they used to play this on No Agenda occasionally. The Australian guy's like, okay, they talk about you go through all the major powers and how much money they owe to each other, right? And it's basically like, this country owes this much country. It's this fucking goat rodeo. It's like, when does it all end, right? It's like, Jane, stop this crazy train. Yeah, this is, you know, it's crazy how much of our money is wasted on shit that doesn't need it. And money's energy, folks. Where you put your money, where you put your money is where you're putting your energy. What are you putting your energy into? Are you putting your energy into things that actually come back to you in a good way, or do they harm you? And this is, you know, that we talk about value for value. This is where you apply it in your own life, right? What are you investing your time, talent, and treasure in? What are you personally getting out of it?
Well, okay, so I would like to double click on this for just a moment. Not just because it was my story, but also because of what's, you know, contained there within. I've seen this time after time. Shopping carts being pushed, and I'm not, this is a moment where I'm not being that bitch, okay? But shopping carts being pushed by people who are as wide as they are tall, and this is what's in their carts. And you know that the three, you know, nipple nibblers that are on the hip of this rotund individual, you know, she whipping that food stamp card out. She got the money. She got the food benefits. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. She got it all. And that's the problem, is because if you wisely spent the money that you're being get for food stamps, okay, you don't have to be that huge. People say, oh, it's expensive to eat healthy. No, it's really kind of not. Not when you do it in a logical way. Just eat one ingredient foods. Stop consuming all of this processed garbage. People ask me, you know, oh, what do you think of, you know, RFK? I think he's fucking fantastic, this guy. Okay? I don't give a shit that he did coke off a toilet seat. It's a big fucking deal. Okay?
Hey, a bunch of people voted for a dude that got a blowjob in the White House. I mean, come on.
Have you seen what he's married to?
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know why he doesn't divorce her?
He doesn't want to be on the list.
That's exactly fucking why.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he don't want to die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's aware of the Clinton hit list. And
oh yeah.
Exactly. Well, okay.
But I'm being serious in the fact that, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, but that's truly what it equates to. You know, the handout is just so easy to give. The problem being. And because it's the same for SNAP, it's the same for WIC, it's basically the same for everything. There's no guidance. There's no food guidance for these programs. I think in order to receive these benefits, you should have to go through, although when you sit and think about how broken the food system is and the fact that what they're, you know, the guidelines, despite the fact that they've cleaned up the food pyramid, are still abjectly crappy, I still think it's a step in the right direction if in order to get these benefits, you have to sit through an educational class on how nutritional, like how to eat healthy, yeah. quote unquote, because you're literally feeding the problem by ignorance.
Well, there's so many things that the problem is that, yeah, the food system's broken partially because they've memory holed all the stuff that's probably much better for us than the stuff that's actually there. The reason why they memory hold it is because, well, they can't control it, right? It grows everywhere. It's literally fucking weeds, right? You know, there's probably things that we don't need all this shit. We really don't need all this shit. Anyway, I'm starting to sound like an old man yelling at a cloud. But I think we should
just remember there is no cloud, it's just someone else's computer.
All right, let's go to the next story. These two habits are linked to more than a third of all cancer cases.
You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Now, nearly 40% of new cancer cases worldwide are potentially preventable, according to one of the first investigations of its kind, which analyzed dozens of cancer types in almost 200 countries. The study found that in 2022, roughly 7 million cancer diagnoses were linked to modifiable risk factors, those that can be changed, controlled, or managed to reduce the likelihood of developing the disease. Overall, tobacco smoking was the leading contributor to worldwide cancer cases, followed by infections and drinking alcohol.
Water, sweat, too.
Yeah. The findings suggest that avoiding such risk factors is one of the most powerful ways we can potentially reduce the future cancer burden, says study co-author Hannah Fink, a cancer epidemiologist at the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer in Lyon, France. Now, Mike.
Hold on. I swear to God, you said Hannah Fake. That's what I heard. I know it's Fink, but I heard Fake.
Hannah Fake. Well, I mean, you know, we gotta write her down. I mean, come on. I mean, you know that. I mean, you know that is actually something.
I want to point out though, this agency, okay, is in France. What is France known for? Here, I'll help you out. Really fucking rich foods, croissants. Jeez.
Oh, the next story is about France. We'll get into that. Well, don't spoil the next story. However,
no, I'm just saying. In so much as, like, you know, there's a reason, you know, that France is known for their, you know, pastries and decadent food. And I assure you, it's got plenty of shit in it you don't want to eat.
God, our degenerates in the chat are anyway. I don't even want to go into it. Okay. Anyway, the study was published in Nature Medicine. Cancer continues to be a leading cause of illness and death worldwide, with cases expected to rise over the next decades if current trends continue. Previous studies have estimated that around 44% of global cancer deaths can be attributed to avoidable or controllable causes. Estimates of preventability have focused mainly on the number of deaths rather than cases and have mostly investigated a single risk factor, says Fink. Now, to address this gap, Fink and her colleagues examined global case data from 2022 for 36 different cancers across 185 countries. The study included 30 modifiable risk factors that are well-established causes of cancer, such as tobacco smoking, alcohol consumption, and infections. Now, the researchers combined this information with data from 2012 that captured people's exposure to each risk factor. Fink and her colleagues then estimated the proportion of cases that were directly linked to each risk factor. Well, this sounds... Yeah, lies, damn lies, and statistics. Okay.
Exactly.
In 2022, there was a total of 18.7 million new cancer cases worldwide. Roughly 38% or 7.1 million of these cases could be attributed to avoidable causes. Globally, tobacco smoking was the leading contributor, accounting for around 15% of preventable cases. Well, okay, yeah, people still smoke. This is followed by infections, 10%, and drinking alcohol, 3%. Lung, stomach, and cervical cancers made up nearly half of all preventable lung cancer cases. Around 30% of the 9.2 million new cases in women were preventable. More than 11% of these were associated with infections such as those caused by human papillomavirus, the leading cause of cervical cancer. Now, most of these cases occurred in low and middle income regions such as sub-Saharan Africa, where cervical cancer rates are highest. Meanwhile, smoking was the dominant cause of cancer among women in high income regions, including North America and most of Europe. Globally, smoking...
I need to jump in.
Okay.
On a rather dark... fact that just came to mind when you were talking about the cervical cancer issue in sub-Saharan Africa. Another problem we have in sub-Saharan Africa is sexual abuse of young women. And there are studies that prove that girls who are sexually active before the age of 13 have a higher risk of cervical cancer. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thought about something along those lines. So I'm kind of glad you jumped in with that. So, all right.
I mean, I'm not saying that's the reason, but I'm also not saying that it can be ruled out.
They don't ask about it.
No, because don't look over here. Nothing to see.
Yeah.
Turn a blind eye to it all.
Yes. Yeah, so globally, smoking was the biggest risk factor for men, accounting for most one quarter of the 4.3 million preventable cancer cases. It remained the leading cause of cancer in men living in both low and high income regions. Infections ranked second, mostly occurring in parts of Africa, Asia, and South America, followed by drinking alcohol. You know, there's no mention of glyphosate. Does it cause cancer? Probably does. What about sugar? Well, we know sugar feeds it. And honestly, I bet if I search here for a cancer for a cancer clip, I can find something.
I'm sure you probably could. And as we've talked about, especially, you know, we believe that the smoking causing cancer thing is more from the sugar content in the tobacco than it is, you know, essentially just, you know, oh, it's the nicotine or it's whatever. Because as you know, if they flu cure the tobacco, it brings the natural sugars in the plant out very strongly, almost like a caramelization. And we know what happens, you know, to sugar when you burn it, it becomes carbon. And carbon is a carcinogen. I don't need to say any more.
Okay. Well, I did find a clip. I did find a Ben Bickman clip. I think he was talking with Vinny. So, but this talks about cancer. I think this actually, let me pull up the, I'm going to play this clip while I pull up the other one.
Some of the neatest evidence from Thomas Seyfried's lab in Boston is hinting, again, more and more, that a lot of the origins of cancer, but again, there's so many different types, could stem from energy problems, namely problems in the mitochondria, that there's a mitochondrial deficit or disorder, and that's carrying over to this shift where the cancer, the cells forget how to have normal metabolism and then shift into this kind of more fermented kind of bacteria. They end up acting like bacteria, or what's called the Warburg effect. His research really is lending credence to this idea from like 70 years ago from Warburg or more at this point.
Yeah. I mean, this, okay, that wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but it is, but obviously that cancer has all kinds, I mean, there's all kinds of other things. If you're talking about insulin receptors, that taps into diabetes territory, right? Because insulin regulation is part of the problem with type 2 diabetes. So yeah, all this stuff's related, folks, right? So even if that wasn't exactly the clip I was going for, but with that, I think there's so many things that they're not looking at here. They say, well, it's, you know, they don't even ask about sugar, which ultimately feeds cancer, right? That's actually, I was going for the Otto Warburg.
Yeah, you probably could have pulled a Vinnie Tortorich clip for the effect that sugar feeds cancer. He talks about it all the time and how that's one of the ways he was able to beat cancer not once, but twice.
Yeah, this is actually, I think this might be a better clip.
I was told that when they knocked my leukemia into remission, the type of leukemia I had, they said, will come back in 5 years. I said, well, what's the longest anyone's gone? They said there's been some outliers that have gone 8 and 9 years. But the general consensus is if you go 4 years, you've beaten the curve. If you've gone 5 years, that's probably when you'll be back on chemo. Now, I was cleared of cancer in 2008. That's 12 years. And I haven't had chemo yet.
Wow.
And nobody is studying me, by the way. No one's going, wait a minute. We now have a guy at 12 years. Should we not be looking at that guy and seeing what he's doing?
Yeah. Now, he did get cancer. This was before he got the leukemia again. However, again, he was able to, he didn't even go through chemo the second time either, right? And he actually, and yeah, this is how he went so long, right? Is he basically doesn't eat sugars and grains, right?
And
so,
that's literally what I've been harping on Wookie about, because, you know, she just came clear of having surgery for a spot of lung cancer that they removed. And they're talking about chemo as a proactive for her stuff, and I'm just looking at her and my face is melting off and I'm going, no, the chemo is what kills you, not the cancer ultimately.
Yeah.
And why would I want to irradiate my body unnecessarily just because it might come back? How about I stop eating sugar? How about I stop eating garbage and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I cannot pound my fist on the table loud enough and long enough for her. I love her to bits. She's been my friend for such a very long time. But I just cannot bend her to understand that if you don't want this cancer to come back and you don't want to take radiation, and who the fuck does on either one of those, just cut the shit out of your life that could cause it to come back. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all right. Here's the last story. I think this is a good one for you to poop on.
Oh, you know how much I like to poop on it. So eat less meat, France urges, for sake of health and climate.
I'm French. Why do you think I have this outrageous accent, you silly king?
So the French government issued a long-awaited report Wednesday urging people to limit meat consumption for their health and also to fight climate change. And not everyone in the country of steak fleets is thrilled. The contentious decision came as part of a national strategy for food, nutrition, and climate, setting out the government's aim until 2030 on balancing a healthy diet while reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Oh, brother. It was supposed to be published in 2023, the culmination of a direct democracy initiative that immediately raised the hackles of agriculture lobbies that accused the government of threatening their livelihoods. The decision struck a nerve in a country renowned for dishes like steak and fries and beef bourguignon, despite evidence that meat production generates significant greenhouse gases that contribute to climate change.
Okay.
Right, well, yeah. Because those big fucking data centers for the AI aren't doing good enough to pollute the environment. The Monsanto glyphosate, the massive fertilizer fires in these Texas
warehouses. The animals that get killed on pig farm, or, you know, because they're growing all these monocultured things, and, you know, yeah, it attracts animals that try to eat them, and yeah, you have to, basically the only thing you can do is shoot the fucking animals, so you're killing the senseless animals.
But here's the thing, okay, and I understand, okay, that this is France, this isn't here, but they're still trying to pull the same shit. This is worldwide. This one just got more attention because it's France. Now, this also comes a month after the U.S. government, under President Donald J. Trump, 47, sorry, upended decades of recommendations by touting consumption of red meat and full-fat dairy products. Fucking A! So apart from the health concerns of such advice, food production overall produces one-fourth of French carbon emissions, with meat production representing 2/3 of that amount. And you think you're special? I mean, seriously, I'm not. Hence, the French government's hesitation on whether to ask people to reduce their meat eating or just limit it. In the end, while promoting a diet focused on fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, the new guidelines call for limited consumption of meats overall, including cold cuts and a reduction of imported meat. Now, we can agree with that. Okay, you should not be eating the cold cuts, the ultra processed lunch meat and stuff like that. But I'm not going to go there. Okay, eat a fucking steak. You want to stop the greenhouse gas emissions? Eat a steak. That's one less cow farting in your environment. So we're relieved this plan was published. We were really worried it would be dropped, said Stephanie Pierce of France Asos Santé, a patient's health association. But we were hoping for a much more ambitious plan, she said. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Now, just out of curiosity, who's running shit over there?
Macron, I guess.
Is Macron still in charge?
Well, he thinks he's in charge.
Hell, he's still in office. Nobody's fucking Kennedy'd him, right?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay. So this then comes as absolutely no surprise that there's fuckery going on over in France when it comes to, you know, don't eat the meat. Well, fuck you.
I have to respond to somebody in the chat here. And I think there's only one clip that we can play here. Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Absolutely couldn't agree more.
Exactly. Well, I think it's time for the last call, though.
I'm not done yet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, unfortunately, let me just make sure that there's nothing else in the voicemail here. I had already copied that one. So, yeah, we have nothing in the last call. So I guess we're done. Are we not?
I think it might be.
Yeah, I gotta hit that button because...
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it, I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go post-produce this, and I also gotta post-produce 2.5 bins. Thanks for joining us. We're also gonna play some tunes in Studio 33. So with that...
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back, swoosh, and that's the game!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool, and fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.